Nationals Review Podcast. My name is Colm, and it is Monday, April 7th, 2014. This is episode 30, and I'm not here alone. No, no, no. I'm here with the RBI machine, Mr. Charles Fleagle.
Nice.
There you go. Right off the top of my head.
Nothing gets a sabermetrically inclined baseball fan going more than an RBI.
Oh, RBIs are the best.
Oh, they are the worst.
Did you know?
They are legitimately the worst.
You know, this month and next month, because on last-gen systems, they're coming out with RBI 14. They remade our favorite RBI baseball game from the past.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
RBI baseball was that your favorite baseball game?
No, it was not. I can't admit that. Baseball Stars was definitely number one in my world.
Baseball Stars was amazing. I was a big fan of Baseball Stars, and I liked Bases Loaded a lot.
Oh, that
RBI.
Was great.
I played RBI a ton because we had Nintendo. Right. My friend had a Nintendo, and that was like, you know, that was the game that was out in like the late 80s, early 90s.
Well, that had the real players. That's the reason.
And it had real players.
Right. And it was the first major league license, I believe.
Be like Trammell without the E at the end of his name. It was like TRAMML because
they couldn't fit it.
Yeah.
That's right.
The pixels are too big.
So, yeah, it's coming out, so I'm pretty excited. I'm going to wait until it comes out on PS4 in May.
Nice.
And I'm just going to play that. The Nationals
I do not
concept.
Have a PS4.
No.
I have an Xbox 360.
Oh, it comes out in that in April, like any day.
They're still making games for my old Xbox?
Oh, dude, I would not suggest anyone buy a next-gen system right now. There's nothing. They South Park that just came out was on last-gen. Anyway, that's a whole different show. No one's. This isn't.
Yes,
game
if you're show. Interested, Colm does have a show that's all tech. Colm,
look at that.
Give it a quick plug because I'm going to give a quick plug myself to something else. So go for it.
All right, check us out at t4show.com if you're interested in anything video game and like gadgety, and we review a lot of products and talk a lot about video games.
It's Colm and it's Michael Manna, who you may know from wrestling fame, actually, after WrestleMania just happened this weekend.
Oh, I think one of my top five WrestleManias, but that's a whole other show that I don't do.
And, so Michael used to be, or still, I guess, is an active participant at times in the WWE world. And he was in the Right to Censor that took down my boys, tried to take down DX back when I watched it 10 years
That's
ago.
Right.
But anyway,
That's right.
So my plug, first, actually, before we get into that, I guess we'll go to the plugs and then we'll talk about what we're drinking.
Gotcha.
A new little thing on the site, if you go to the nationalsreview.com and you look at the menu bar, there is the blue menu bar below the logo that was so artfully designed by Colm, which, by the way, Colm, that's an awesome logo. I love it.
I love it. It looks so good. Especially, I don't know if you have an Apple TV, when you go to podcasts and it shows it there. It looks so cool.
Yes, amazing. I love the way you did that logo. But on the very right side, next to the Nationals Park Beer Guide, which I will be updating as soon as I can, there is a gear page. And if you click on that, it has a link to the new T-shirt store.
Look at that.
And so we will be coming out with some new T-shirts soon.
Yes, that is definitely in the plans.
I have one that I have to tell you about, Colm, that our buddy SA is going to design, but I'm not going to do it here because I want it to be a surprise when it comes out. But we have.
I saw the one, though, in an email, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and we got a Rendon'd shirt. Anytime a ball gets smashed by Anthony Rendon, it has
He is batting .391, leading the Nationals.
Yes, and what else do we have? We have a little the Nats Review logo, which you designed, and I certainly will be buying one of those and sporting it around.
Right.
And we have a Curly W shirt. So,
Curly
not W's. The actual Curly W shirt, a shirt that says another Curly W's in the books and has a picture of Curly and a picture of GW. So,
has anyone ever made the See You Later shirt? Because I want that.
That I don't know. But we could do that.
That would be
actually, one of my great ideas for a shirt that I thought was really unique by me was made by somebody else. So, I couldn't do it. But I wanted to do a steak shirt for Desmond, who loves talking about his steak.
Right.
Somebody else has that, and I'm not trying to make you not notice their site. I just can't remember who did it.
Right.
But there's another Nats blogger has it, so if you want the steak shirt, go Google that, I guess. But I'll be coming up with some you know, shirts on the site too. And it links to a site called Society 6, which gives you like 15 different colors of shirts to order.
Everything.
And you can order a men's fitted tee or a women's fitted tee or a tank top if you have arms like Bryce Harper,
right,
or actually a onesie. I may have to get my impending child. Impending doesn't sound like a very good word. Upcoming child?
Upcoming.
I have a baby in August, and I'm going to have to get that one a onesie with the Nationals Review logo on it so I can use my baby for advertising.
Right, of course.
Maybe I'll get him the Randoned one instead.
Yeah, that would be good.
So before we get into the meat of the show, let's talk about the drinks of the show.
Yes. Well, I went real simple tonight. I'm going just Corona Extra with a lime.
Ah, very nice.
You know, the weather changed. Even though today was the worst weather I think we've had in a month.
Yeah, but we're talking good weather all week. So.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's going to be beautiful again. It was beautiful, I thought, Sunday. So every time the weather starts getting nice, I go back to the Corona Extra to say welcome back.
See, I'm going the opposite way. I'm like, it's starting to get warm. I'll feel guilty about buying this. So I bought a 60-minute Dogfish Head. And the only reason I feel guilty about it is because I have to stop myself from buying it. And when it's the summer, I'm like, it's like I have a problem if I buy this beer again. I have to buy something more summery. So I always go buy something else.
Me
but
too.
I'm a big fan. That's probably my favorite beer is the 60 minutes. So.
Oh, yeah. That's like one that I think you could have as like your standard beer in your fridge, you know, that you always have.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan. Stone Cold, actually, going back to wrestling, actually on his podcast mentioned he wants to go to microbrews, and he mentioned Dogfish Head, that he's really interested in going.
That's
to
interesting
the
because I didn't know this. What did he? The Silver Bullet had a microbrewery attached to it. Isn't he a Coors fan?
No, he's just a huge beer fan, and he's like really into like all different kinds.
I'm thinking back.
Back in the day, yeah.
The Steve Weisers.
Right.
Is that what he used to drink?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know Stone Cold had a podcast.
Oh, it's so good. It's like my favorite one.
I didn't know he had that much to say, but a lot of people could say the same thing.
He's two. Like, he has one that's like a family one and then like an explicit one, and that's where he like interviews old wrestlers.
I would actually like to listen to Stone Cold interviewing Nikolai Volkov.
Oh, please, that'd be a dream.
And the Iron Sheik.
Hello, Hogan.
There's actually baseball to talk about now.
Oh my God, it's here!
Official baseball. So pretty good first week. The quick recap is they did sweep the Mets. The first game was a little dicey. I think it went 10 innings, but they won.
The Mets are terrible. Let's also do that. Yeah, they are going to be the worst team, hands down.
But the Nats also played really well.
Yes.
Games two and games three. Game four, they played the Braves, and they lost 1-2, 2-1.
That's right.
But it was a good game.
And
Zimmerman pitched really well.
He looked awesome. He really did.
He really did. And you know what? They went down by a run late, and they had to deal with Kimbrel in the bullpen. And sometimes that'll work, but most of the time it won't.
Right.
Saturday was a bit of a debacle. You had the classic 2013 Nats stylings of Zim with a bad shoulder and Strasburg getting blown up after an error.
Yeah. Where are you going to go first? Was Zimmerman or Strasburg?
I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on Strasburg. You know, it's early.
Right. I think his changeup is ridiculous. I think
he looks good. He didn't look shaken. It looked like it wasn't his best start, but he didn't look like deer in headlights.
I thought he settled down in the third, right? Around the third, he looked really comfortable.
But then the fifth, I guess, he got blown up and they took him out.
Right. That's right.
I don't know. I'm not that
concerned. I'm not worried.
Yeah, right. I reserve the right to be concerned later. Mm-hmm. Zimmerman, I don't know. I'm kind of worried. I mean,
can he not play third base anymore? Is it really that bad?
So I will go with this. He claims it's an inflammation. The team claims it's an inflammation. If they're not worried, I'd be shocked.
Jesus. I don't think as an organization, though. I mean, with the amount of talent we have right now, I think we can deal with it.
So my concern is not actually the future, because I think unless he turns it around and has a great season and makes all the throws, like, he's the first baseman next year. There's probably no getting around it at this point. Like, he now has to prove innocence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He is no longer the third baseman starting in 2015 when LaRoche is gone, because he clearly has had trouble making that throw year in and year out. Right. Now, he could turn around and rest the shoulder, stretch it out, get whatever needs to be done, and have five throwing errors or even 10 over the course of the season. Then you go, okay, maybe he is all right. Maybe he can play third, and you don't sweat it. But quite frankly, like, if Espinoza plays well, then who's going to play second next? You know, like, if he plays third and Espinoza plays, what, are you going to move Rendon to first? No, at some point, like, the team construction, if Espinoza is good, and we don't know that he will be, but if he is, then Zimmerman may be forced to third anyway, forced to first anyway. My concern is this year, because what the hell are you going to do with him if he can't play third? Like, you can either stick him out there and hope they don't hit it to him, or, you know, stick him out there and he'll only make the throw half the time and he'll have 35 errors. I don't know.
And he's hit so good. That's the problem.
He can still hit. And you can't sit him in the way LaRoche is playing. Like, you can't sit LaRoche.
No.
You can't.
Isn't LaRoche like one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now?
Right. And even if LaRoche can't hit lefties, like, what are you going to put Zimmerman in for the 200 at-bats a year that Zimmerman would face lefties? Yeah, but what about the other 400 at-bats a year that Zimmerman's supposed to get? So, you know, one crazy thought that we had talked about last year was him going to second base. It's a possibility. If the throwing issue is mental, going to second base isn't going to help.
No way. It'll mess him up even more. Yeah, I don't
But
like
if it is truly physical, then that might not be the worst thing. I don't know. I got some flack on Twitter because I mentioned that, and people were like, no, that's crazy. Like, he doesn't have the range to play second. Now, I'm not so sure he doesn't have the range to play second. This is a guy that they comfortably put at shortstop for a couple games his rookie year. He is a truly good defensive player.
Right.
That doesn't mean he won't have issues at second. But, you know, I don't know. I'm more concerned with figuring out how to get him in the lineup. And if he can't make the throw from third, I don't know what they're going to do.
Okay, so I have a question then. Would you move him?
To
a new, like, trade.
Who's going to take a third baseman with a $100 million contract that can't make the throw from third? No.
Well, what if he's there? Yeah, I guess you're right, because they're not going to be like, oh, he's first base, and just be like, okay. That's true.
No, you could trade LaRoche, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Somebody actually put...
This is a contract year, pretty much.
Somebody made the point... somebody made the, you know, not truly speculating, but just saying, what about LaRoche to the Yankees? Because they...
Oh, wow. Because now with Teixeira down,
And how many home runs would he hit in that stadium? Probably more than the 20 he'll hit in D.C. Right. And then you put Espinoza as your starting second baseman, Rendon as your starting third baseman. And
the Yankees love guys our age.
That's true. You know, so that was by somebody, Zachary Levine, at Zachary Levine. Baseball prospectus writer.
I like it.
He also called that a sext, not a text or a tweet. So clearly thought it was a sexy.
I really like it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility, but I don't think anybody's talking about trading right now. I mean, what you do right now is you hold your breath and you hope that Zimmerman gets better and he's able to make the throw again.
Right. And I can deal with one a game, actually. Like, maybe there's going to be a handful that are going to piss me off, but I could deal with one a game.
So I made the point last year that there's a point where he has too many errors, but 20 or 25 in a year probably isn't it.
All right.
Because even the best third basemen are going to make 10 to 15 a year, and he can hit. And so if he makes 10 more than the best and – or 15 more than the best and 10 more than a pretty good one, that's not the worst thing in the world, you know?
Right. I also think they're making a really big issue out of it because on the play that he like really overthrew, it scored runs.
I agree.
And cost us the game, and that's the problem.
There's a lot of things going into it. So there's the history.
Right.
There's the runs. And then there was like the panic that the whole, Natstown seemed to get into when, oh my God, we're going to go 0-2 against the Braves this year.
Right.
I swear to God, if they hadn't won on Sunday, I think people would have been jumping off a balcony.
Oh, God. Wow.
And FP was talking about how the Braves are in their head, and he compared it to when he was on the A's in like 2001 and the Mariners won 116 games, and he was like, we looked over and the Mariners couldn't beat anybody or couldn't lose to anybody, but they couldn't beat us, and they knew we were in their heads. And
oh, God. I don't think it's that at all.
I don't think so either. Like, the Braves are really good.
Right.
The Nats had a bad year last year. They still won like 86 games or whatever, but they had a bad last year, and while their record against the Braves is lopsided, that wasn't the only reason their year was bad.
Right.
So I'm not entirely concerned with the Braves series. They took one out of three. You'd like to take two out of three. You'd love to take three out of three. But by the way, in 2001, the A's team that knew they would beat Seattle every time went 9-10 against Seattle. So
there you go. There you go.
Right. FP might not be remembering that quite right, but that's still a pretty good record against a team that won 116 games.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So wait, some things we didn't talk about leading up to all this, the most strikeouts ever by a team in the first, what was it? Four games or five games?
Yeah.
Some ridiculous thing. It was like the first time since, 1916 that a team had that many strikeouts?
Wow.
And there was another amazing stat we had, too. It was someone with Ian Desmond that had. Damn, I can't remember.
Most steak eaten.
Yeah, most steak eaten in ounces or something like that.
Well, I mean, the question will be not, can they actually go pretty even against the Braves? And can they dominate the Mets and the Phillies? And
yes.
The Marlins, who have looked really good.
They're going to be better this year, man. I really do think that lineup looks good.
So the Marlins are 5-2. A lot of people were saying that they look good. Our buddy Markham said as much to me. Look, Saltamaki is not a 300 hitter.
No, but he also is solid, and he can lead a pitching staff.
Casey McGeehee isn't as good.
No, Casey McGeehee sucks. Is
terrible. He's a career 310 or 315 on base guy, and he's raking right now.
Right.
Andy Hechavarria, look, he's young. Maybe he is good.
Super fast.
But, they got all these young players like Hechavarria and Marcelo Zuna and all these other guys that are playing really well. Derek Dietrich. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at their roster. There's a reason you haven't really heard of these guys. They're not great. And now Hechavarria was a prospect, and
right,
he may end up being a good player.
They also have Superman on their team. You forget about that guy.
Okay, so Stanton is incredible. is Jose Fernandez. But
Jose Fernandez. And their closer, I love.
Okay, they have
Steve Chesick.
Yeah, they have Chesick or Chesick or whatever
his name is.
Yeah, Cishek. I believe it is actually.
He's on my fantasy team. I've had him for 2 years, and he's just nonstop, just mows people down.
But, do I expect Carlos Marmol to go through four games and not walk more than a guy ever again this season? Right. Maybe not. Maybe. It's – ask any Orioles fan how much it matters what April performance is.
True.
And it's like, unless you're losing your first 20 games, the Orioles spent so many years – looking good through the end of June and then just horrible.
One year the strike came and we were amazing and probably could have won it all.
The strike year?
Yeah, remember we were in first place when that ended.
Well, I don't remember ever calling the Orioles we, first of all. You might have done that.
I was a we then.
The strike year, that was doing really well were the Yankees and the Expos.
Yeah.
And the Expos.
True.
But anyway, It's been a week, and so I don't want to hear the people that have told me that the Marlins were going to be really good this year. I'm not ready to take their I told you shows yet. Right, I just don't see it. So, so yeah, I'm pretty happy with the way the Nats have played. Look,
oh yeah, they look great. Well, how do you feel about? I'll ask you some questions. How do you feel about Matt Williams moving Harper throughout the lineup?
His lineups have been attention getting and curious to me. I don't understand it.
I don't understand why he didn't just pick a lineup and just go with it.
He's not an idiot. I'm not going to sit here and say what he does doesn't make sense. But, like, you texted this to me. Like, every time Harper's at the bottom of the lineup, and right now he's struggling, and maybe he needs to be at the bottom of the lineup at the moment. But he loses at-bats.
Yeah.
And
I don't understand. That's the dumbest thing ever.
You want him to get at-bats.
Statistically, that is dumb. Is that not a dumb idea? Sorry.
It doesn't make sense. Now, the only thing is, and we have to remember this as guys that like to understand what the stats mean, is that we're not in the locker room. We don't know how to handle the personalities. And that's the big difference between everybody that can understand what a war calculation is and the people that actually do this for a living, is they have to deal with the personality. So I give him some leeway on that, but come on.
I think it was Bryce batted five times less when he was batting over there. No, it was three times less because of where he batted.
Over the course of the week,
right.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
So dumb. I don't get it. The guy needs to get out there and get swings and just keep hitting. That's how he does it good. Yeah. I don't understand.
He is the man. He's Bryce.
So, but I mean, but you look at the lineup, and we're winning games. So, who's going to complain about that? Everyone's saying, "Oh, it's Matt Williams finding out what his lineup can do." Blah blah blah, and that's how they spin it.
Yeah, but again, it's early. So, what are you going to say? But you know, I don't know that they've scored a lot of runs against the Mets. They didn't do so well against the Braves, but. Yeah,
true.
He's testing things out, seeing what he likes.
How do you like how he's handled the starters with inning wise at this early?
I mean he's playing the game where he's still trying to stretch guys out. He's not really taking guys. I would suspect this is the last week that you're going to pull guys that are pitching well in the sixth.
Okay, good.
maybe not even this week. Maybe second time around if Gio pitches tomorrow and he's looking good. Might let him go because, you know, he might be considered stretched out. But it's usually closer to two or three starts that you really want to make sure they're stretched out. So he's got to do that. Every manager has to deal with that.
Who do you feel is the hottest out of the bullpen right now?
Not Soriano.
No. Even though he looked good, was it last night?
Well, yeah, except for the two guys he let on.
True, but he untucked it, so that's all.
That is so annoying. He does have a zero ERA, so that's good. You know, Blevins has given up some runs in one appearance, but he looked pretty good.
He did.
Storen's been the best, probably.
Oh, that was what I was hoping you would say. How incredible has he looked?
Storen's look great, and Barrett looked great.
Barrett. I couldn't even believe how – I'm, like, in love with that guy now. When he came, was it game one where we first saw him?
Yeah,
okay.
And you know who else has looked good? Detweiler and Stammen, both of them good out of the bullpen.
Yeah. So that's why I think with the games with the Braves, I think that's why they were always so close because we were just in it the whole time until – well, except for the terrible Saturday game. But
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I could not be happier with the team. It's like – it's I love everyone on it. I think, yes, we're having to deal with the manager figuring out what he wants to do, but
– Right. Well – You know, he's getting the feel for the team, I guess.
Right.
I would hope – I guess my only wish is whatever you end up, I hope that the best hitters tend to be in the top five, barring Span, who isn't really the best hitter, but I understand why they want to put him at the top of the lineup.
Right.
I would.
He's been pretty good. What's his on base right now?
No, he's doing well this year.
Yeah.
His on base is .333, which isn't spectacular, but it's not so bad.
Great, yeah,
but he's hit with some power already, so he hadn't looked bad. I don't know. I think it's better for the team personally. I think if they settle on something, but we'll see. Maybe they won't.
Right.
Maybe it won't matter.
Now, ESPN has, as of right now, oh, God, ESPN is playing now. They have on their thing their power rankings. As of today, they have the Nationals in the sixth position.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah,
they have the Braves at four, which I disagree. I don't see it.
Well, the Braves have looked good so far after missing out on, after the pitching injuries. Let's see how the season goes a little bit. You know, okay. If somebody gets hurt, they don't have any depth. I mean, just look at the Nats' depth, right? They're already missing Pfister, and Taylor Jordan came out and pitched great. Stammen and Detweiler both could – maybe not Stammen as much anymore. Stammen's probably pure relief now, but Detweiler could still do something as a starter if they needed him to.
Right.
That trade for Lobatone, how important does that look?
So important. Yeah, that's right. Once again, now we're having to miss out on Ramos playing catcher. Why is this happening every year?
I can't take it. The guy is made out of, he's brittle. He's made out of candy. Something.
Yeah.
It's upsetting because he's so good.
Upsetting. So let's talk about, you have here, you want to talk about best promotions around the league.
Oh, yeah. So I put something up. We were going to talk about it last time, and we never got to it. So, on the website, there's a link to all of the best promotions. Basically, it was talking about, if you look at the Nats promotions, they're just kind of uninspired. You know?
Oh, you mean the bobblehead and the terrible hat.
Yeah, bobbleheads, blah, blah, blah. So I went through and I just put some pictures of some of my favorite or the most ridiculous ones. So if you go to the Nats, it's called Nats Stuff Not Up to Par. And it is, you know, just some of the selection of my favorite or least favorite ones. And I don't know if you look at it. Like, I really like on April 13th, the Giants are giving away a, like, San Francisco Giants-themed, like, Allen Iverson.
What is this?
It is the most ridiculous
thing I've ever seen.
It's got flames on it. It's just awful. But then there's some good ones, too. Like, the Dodgers are giving away a zip-up hoodie.
Yeah, that looks really nice, that one. I'm going to make my sister go to that one.
Yeah, tell her to get a couple.
Oh, that's in next week or this week.
The Tigers are giving away like those football gloves that when you put your hands together to make a catch, it like does stuff. That's kind of what it looks like. They're Tigers gloves.
Oh my God, April 25th is the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, the Seattle Mariners hat with a beard. That looks horrible.
Oh, May 3rd, look at that.
Yeah, so fedoras appear to be a big thing this year.
Oh, wow.
Lots of fedoras. So here are a few ones that I like. I really like the Diamondbacks have they're for, unfortunately, only for moms. Slippers.
I see them.
I would love some Nats slippers. That would be amazing.
That is amazing.
what else do we have?
Oh my God, you're right about these fedoras. You get every team.
Everywhere. So one of my favorite and most ridiculous ones, well, one for you that you'd really like, on May 31st.
Oh, wow.
The Astros are giving away an Altuve jersey. Not a t-shirt, but a jersey. Now, I don't know the quality level of this jersey, but like...
Hey, that's definitely got to be more than $20 right there.
It's got buttons. I would love it if the Nats gave away. I like what the A's are doing the day after.
Oh, my God.
Chip Hale and Chili Davis. Neither of them ever actually played for the A's, but they're both in the coaching staff. And coaching staff don't usually get honored in this way, but when your name is Chip and Chili, they decided to make a Chip and Chili dip bowl. I guess the Chip Hale is for the chips on the outside and Chili Davis for the...
This is amazing.
Yeah. You know, there's some cool stuff. I actually like another thing that the Diamondbacks are giving away, a cereal bowl. I just love that. I love that cereal bowl. I would eat out of that bowl.
So we have nothing cool? There's nothing here cool from us.
No, nothing cool.
Wait, what is this August 2nd Baltimore Oriole?
So the Orioles are giving away Chris Davis action figures.
That's not real.
And it has like the most crappy MS Paint drawn Chris Davis you'll ever see. But I'm excited about it because it doesn't say it's a bobblehead or like a figurine. Uh-oh. It says it's an action figure.
We might have to go to that game.
I might have to make my way up there for a Chris Davis action figure. And then there's some other dumb ones like on August 31st, the Giants are giving away like one of those wool caps, you know, like the winter hats.
Right.
It's an R2-D2 hat. And the only thing Giants about it is there's like a Giants patch on it.
Yeah,
my take like, is like people will just be like, why do you have a San Francisco logo on your R2-D2 hat? Like, I don't get it.
That doesn't make any sense.
And then the Cubs are doing like all these throwback toy things, which I thought was pretty cool.
The Orioles are doing the knit cap with R2-D2 too, so we can get it.
Yep. You could go get your R2-D2 knit cap with a bird on it.
I'm in.
So I just thought that was cool. And
wow.
I've done this in the past. I haven't done it for a few years. Just looked up what other people are giving away. And I always think, you know, maybe the Nats are above it a little bit, but they just don't have the best giveaways.
No.
And that's not why you or I go to the game. But
none.
You better believe we love them. We love the swag.
Yeah. Oh, anything we can bring home and go, look what I got you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, if I could get – I mean, that hoodie, the Dodgers hoodie might be the best thing on here. Like,
it's
that's
a great
must
little giveaway.
Yeah. Well, that is pretty cool. So, yeah, I just retweeted that out, and you can check it out. I'll put it in the show notes within the link for people to click, too.
So something else I wrote about, Colm, was
– okay.
So I've actually had two interactions with local D.C. sports celebrities this week.
Really? Chris Collins. Twitter. I mean, not Chris Collins.
Chris Collinsworth.
Kirk Cousins. That's what I meant to say.
Actually, our buddy S.A. did.
He did.
Kirk Cousins, who was sitting just below him at the Nats game.
Yeah, I asked him why he's so obsessed with backup QBs.
He loves Kirk Cousins, I guess.
Okay.
So I was looking at Twitter, watching a game or something, and Comcast Sportsnet – at CSN Washington, put out this logo, and it was like, who would you pick as the least welcome back in D.C.? Sports figure.
Yeah.
And it was like, Brian Mitchell's going to tell you what he thinks. And the only person they had on it from the Nats was Riggleman. And I just replied, and I said, Riggleman's the best you could do for the Nats. How about Felipe Lopez, Elijah Dukes, Jim Bowden, all these awful people?
Yeah.
Mitchell was nice enough to respond. He was like, we're just trying to put a list together. Which somebody else wrote back, so you're saying you're not trying that hard. But I'm not going to – look, Brian Mitchell wrote me back. I thought that was very cool. And then he wrote, the object was to get fans involved. If we all choose the good ones, would people be participating? To which I wrote, like, this is very typical Brian Mitchell to me. Like, I listen to him on the radio sometimes. When I'm listening to the radio when he's on that 2 to 4 slot, chances are I'll be listening to that show. I don't always listen at that time, but I tend to disagree with what he says a lot, but he always seems like a stand-up guy who will at least like respond and talk back and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty cool that he wrote me back. I didn't agree with either of the things he said. He was saying like we were just trying to put a list together. That to me sounds like you are kind of half-assing it.
Right, right.
And he said the object was to get fans involved. If we chose all the good ones, would people be participating? But so I thought Comcast Sportsnet did a little shady job of answering it well or asking it well. But Brian Mitchell, I'm not mad at.
Right.
I think he was just defending the station. So anyway, I thought that was really cool that he responded. But so I thought, well, what former national is least welcome back? Not former
really?
D.C. sports. What former national is least welcome back? To me, it was like such an – I thought everybody was going to vote for this guy.
Who?
It was Jim Bowden.
Oh, yeah.
He was a terrible GM. The team
terrible.
And he skimmed money from Latin prospects.
So
they had to, like, shut down their Latin operations for a year or two. It's like, which, by the way, could be affecting them now because that was, like, 3 years ago when they could have been signing these 17, 18-year-old Latin players who would now be 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that he's still not affecting the team, you're wrong.
Right.
So I just thought it was completely obvious that this is a Jim. Plus, like, he was kind of a, you know, just strange guy, and he was a showboat. He would show up on his Segway to try and get attention. And
really?
He was just such the opposite of Mike Rizzo.
Yeah. Rizzo, please. He's the best.
Right.
I love him.
Not that Bowden was completely ignorant of baseball in general. He's a decent baseball mind, but I just thought he was an awful GM.
Right.
And he really, like, hurt the team's ability to get good fast. He was certainly handicapped by the deal that by what the MLB dealt him when he became the GM, because they ran the Expos into the ground.
Right.
But he was awful. So I was kind of like, Bowden is it. And the other guy that I thought would get votes was Elijah Dukes because of
Dukes. Oh, yeah.
So Dukes had the combination of being like a true prospect that we were right. like, oh, my God, he's going to be so good. He's going to hit like 30 home runs a year and not living up to it. So mm-hmm. he had that plus the double whammy of like being a criminal. Like he – it wasn't just drugs. He got busted for drugs a ton of times. But he also right. like – do you remember he
– didn't he punch someone?
Well, there might have been that. And I specifically remember he like called the – mother of his child and like left a message saying that he was going to kill her on his on her God. Voicemail. So not
Isn't
only
he on MLB like, Fan Cave now.
I don't know. No, I don't think
Sorry, Elijah no. Dukes, no one watches that show, so.
I don't think Elijah Dukes is on any sort of television show right now. So anyway, like to me it was like it was going to be between Dukes and Bowden. I don't know. What do you I thought Riggleman is like it was kind of not cool that he left.
Right.
But you know, he made the team a better team under him. They became more fundamentally solid. And then he left and a better manager came in. So I'm like, I thought it was really dumb on his part to leave, but I'm not mad at him for it. I thought it was great for the team. So,
right. So I guess Christian Guzman.
I gave the opportunity to put more names on the list. The other one I had on the list was Felipe Lopez.
Yeah.
Similar to Dukes because he was supposed to be good and he was a prospect. He wasn't the kind of prospect Dukes was, but he looked good and he ended up sucking. And some of that was like real reports of just him like being lazy and not showing up on time. And he was always the last of the park and he just had a bad attitude. And that fans don't like that. So I thought I had the list. And then people started tweeting at me, no, you got to throw in Niger Morgan.
What did he do?
And so...
Niger Morgan came here and was great when we had him for like that little bit of time. Then he was terrible the next year.
Right. He was great that half a year. But somebody wrote, Efren Hernandez wrote to me. He's the real Efren at TheReAlEfrenh. He did crazy stuff, tried to hit a fan with a ball, fighting, suspensions.
Really?
Et cetera. Got worse with the Brewers is what he said. Now, I don't care what he did with the Brewers, but... So I put him on there, too, because that guy asked. And I'm pretty sure the guy didn't vote 100 times because the poll doesn't let you do that. But I got, like, over 100 votes, and Morgan got 46.8% of the votes.
Wow.
And I was surprised, and I don't know if that guy who wrote to me or a couple other people got people to vote for Morgan just for fun. Or what, but yeah. I was kind of surprised. Bowden came in second with almost 25%.
Okay, makes sense.
And then Riggleman came in third.
Wow, people really disliked him.
What's your ranking? I mean, who would you put as the least welcome back?
I would say Elijah Dukes was pretty – because I was hoping he was going to turn it around, get another chance here, and he just didn't do anything.
Yeah, that was my take on Dukes.
Such a poor player that he had so much ability and didn't try.
So that's – That's like I was trying to think of all the bad players that could have been good, and like you named Guzman.
Yeah.
And then,
they kept putting him out there.
Austin Kearns came to mind.
Yeah.
But to me, Dukes is like the total example of like a player with real talent who did everything to screw it up. So
he was awesome. I remember coming up through what, Tampa Bay or the Yankees? Who was
Tampa Bay.
God, he was good.
Yep. But couldn't handle being an adult.
Right. So your next story, though, you wrote – I believe you wrote it today, didn't you?
Yeah. So the other – so we talked about the Brian Mitchell conversation. Right. I had a nice Twitter conversation with my fave. I'm going to sound like I'm kissing up to him, but I really do like him, is FP. We both love FP.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't always agree with what FP says.
His promo reading, by the way, have you heard it recently this year?
No.
He's reading the – yeah, you probably heard it, but he reads promos now, and they're hilarious because he just brings Bob Carpenter into, like, the ad every time.
Yeah, he's got a sense of humor. You know what I like about him, and I actually wrote this after he followed up. He's totally not the stereotypical, like, don't talk to me because you didn't play, you know, like right. you weren't in the locker room, so you don't know how it is or whatever. Like, he truly doesn't seem to be smug or like disdainful of the fans. And nope. so both fans in general, and I wrote this specifically like bloggers, like he wants to interact. So I thought that was really cool. So anyway, the short story, and I wrote this was in today's post and
yeah.
Monday, April 7th. Was on this, if you remember the Saturday broadcast, he was talking about Julio Teheran's pitches, and he kept talking about, he and Bob were talking about the fastball went from like 86 to like 94 miles an hour. That's a huge range of movement. And they were like, wow, that's really awesome, like that he can do that. Most pitchers can't do that, and it really puts hitters back on their heels. And my take was like, well, is he really changing speeds that much on his fastball, or is he throwing like a two-seamer, or is it another pitch? So I went to the Brooks Baseball website, which is
– they have these stats? Wow.
Brooks Baseball is basically the guys that – I don't know if they're the only ones, but they're the ones that I pay attention to. They may have like a license. It's
they're well, the yeah, you've said – I've been to the site before, but yeah. I can't believe they tracked it. Like they have someone
so
that's
they track every
this.
Pitch. It's the PitchFX tool that MLB –
has released.
Oh, right. Okay. And so Brooks Baseball like compiles all the pitch effects stuff. So
wow.
I basically looked up what Teheran did, and they have it as a sinker. The way FP was describing it, to me, in my mind at least, and I don't want to misrepresent what he said.
Okay.
But the way he was describing it is he basically had his changeup, his slider, and a fastball, three pitches.
Changeup, slider, fastball. Okay.
And the way Brooks describes it is, no, he has the changeup, slider, four-seam fastball, and a sinker, two different pitches. Huh. And so that fastball wasn't really going from 86 to 94, depending on the pitch. There was his four-seamer was more around the 92 average,
wow.
and his sinker was like an 88 average, 89. And so that made a little more sense to me. But the interesting thing was, you know, you're like, well, FP knows – he's watched enough baseball games that – and he's been a major league hitter. He probably knows the difference between a four-seamer and a two-seamer. So
yeah.
What's going on? And actually what Brooks – the thing that I kind of got from Brooks Baseball was that he's really using a two-seam fastball grip to throw a sinker. And so it's a little different than your typical, like, pitcher that has a sinker. And so he's got a little bit – I mean, it's not like a pitch, you know, like some sort of strange Japanese pitch that we've never heard of.
Right.
But it's a little bit of an oddball pitch, I think. And that's why maybe that both Bob and FP didn't realize it was actually two different pitches. So anyway, I posted it and I CC'd him on it. And he wrote me back. He was like – he just talked about it, what he saw. I posted the Twitter responses from him. You know, I edited the posts and put them up there. But he basically said that the fastball was moving a lot. And, you know, some of that was also just because he was tired. And that's maybe why it was a changing speed as well. And then he said something funny at the end about how.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you read it. But it was just cool. And I really appreciate that. And I think it's so cool that FP would bother to take the time to do that with fans. And
he's
not the
awesome.
First time he's written me back. It's not the first time he's written other bloggers back. And I just think it's really cool that he does that.
Yeah, that is really awesome.
So go read that and see what you
Yeah, I'll put a link to that also in the show notes.
Absolutely.
So you guys can click on that. And then finally, we're going to just basically talk about what else we've seen in opening weekend, I guess.
So we talked a little bit about the Marlins, so we probably don't need to touch on them again.
No,
how about – so I had a fantasy sleeper in our league that I wanted to pick, but he went for so much money that I still didn't take him.
How much did he go for? Way too much?
Way too much. Way too much for what we knew about him at the time.
Gotcha.
But Michael Pineda, man.
Wow.
That guy looks like the real deal. And he looks like – what the Yankees thought they were getting a few years ago. And it changes the layout of that AL East race if he's actually good, because CC isn't good anymore.
No,
now, CC might be a decent number three pitcher.
Yeah.
But he's not an ace anymore. And you look at the Yankees and you go, well, they don't have much hitting and they don't have an ace. And Well, suddenly maybe you go, well, maybe they could do what the Braves want to do, which is not have an ace but have five good pitchers. Now, maybe Tanaka ends up being an ace.
Yeah, he could definitely. I think he looked good when I saw him. I was pretty impressed with him.
Just when you look at that rotation, taking CeCe's name out of it because he's not looking great, you look at Tanaka and Kuroda and Pineda and Nova, and you go, I don't know if any of those are number one. But they're all like twos or threes. Even Nova. And Nova was a guy that nobody expected, but he's been doing it for like 3 years now. So I thought that was interesting, the way that the league, that the AL East could shake out now with that.
Right.
Any observations you have so far?
I like the guy out of Colorado, Mr. Charlie Blackman.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good week, batting .542 currently. That was probably the biggest surprise. I had no idea who he was. Anything else?
I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Sort of. Everybody's talking about the Marlins because they're 5-2. Well, you know who looks like a good team, not good yet, and won't be good yet, but maybe better than we thought they would be, was the Astros.
Oh yeah, they do.
Jason Castro looks good. He hasn't hit much, but
right.
Altuve's awesome.
I love him.
Matt Dominguez doesn't have the numbers yet, but he's looked good in his at-bats. Fowler is awesome and looks great. LJ Hoes.
LJ Hoes, yeah.
Their pitching is, Scott Feldman looks great right now.
Scott Feldman looks good, but who knows? He could just be starting.
And Jared Cosart had a good start, but, that pitching's going to fall apart.
Isn't Brad Peacock former Nat there?
He is. He's in the bullpen there, I believe. And he actually is at the back of the bullpen for them. I think he's like their setup man or their
– Nice.
Maybe he's not their setup, but he's finished a game or two for them already.
Yeah.
Hasn't looked great, but
– What about your boy, Mr. Trumbo? Don't you love him?
Yeah, he's
– Good Lord. He's five home runs.
Four games in a row he's hit a home run?
Yeah, and he's 13 RBIs. I mean, Stanton has 12, but he's Superman. And who's this guy in Minnesota? Let me get his full name here. Chris Colabello. He has 11 RBIs.
Well, maybe he's just hitting at the right time.
I guess so. I don't know who he is.
He's hitting really well. He's been in the league for a while, I think, as like a minor league type guy. He's like one of those quadruple A players. And I think he was up for the... I think he was a rookie last year, and he was up for them, and he didn't do that well.
As usual, too, I've noticed that pitchers definitely are dominating hitters right now. There's tons of strikeouts, and hopefully will slow down.
Yeah, it might be a symptom of the way the league is.
Yeah.
Too. What else? Milwaukee. I picked them. If you remember, when my brother went to Vegas, I had him bet. That Milwaukee for me. They look like they might be all right. The league is too – the reason that their odds are so bad is they got to face up against Pittsburgh and St. Louis and Cincinnati. And all those teams are going to be good. So I'm not sure that Milwaukee can actually pull out the win in the Central. But, look, a healthy Lucroy and – Segura and Aramis Ramirez and Carlos Gomez and Ryan Braun and Scooter
Gomez has really impressed me, by the way.
Yeah,
I wanted to talk to you about it. I was like, amazing. Like, he has like way more power in his game now.
Yeah, and I've always been like biased against him because I think he's one of those things where like you look at the advanced stats and his WAR was so high because of how good of a fielder he was that you go, well, I don't even know if I believe those fielding stats.
Right.
And then my mind starts to go, well, he's not. You take away that, and he's not even that good of a player. But he really actually is a really good player.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Besides the fact that he's going to steal 40 bases, or he stole 40 last year, like if he does anything like he did last year and he actually grew up last year, like he had power the last two or three years. He had on base last year. And he plays a position where there aren't, center field, there aren't the kind of hitters that there are in left and right. So he's a really good player. Yeah. I've been impressed with him.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in him now lately. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, things are going course right now. I'm happy.
Yeah, nothing. You know, there's a little weird things that happen throughout the league. How about L.A. hasn't won many games? Anaheim, I mean. L.A.
Oh, I feel like this happens with Anaheim every year. It's like they don't – they have so many weapons and they don't know how to place them in the lineup right. And they
so
just,
that's what I'm – how good does Josh Hamilton look?
Oh, unbelievable. When he's healthy, he's amazing. He really is.
He's 33, and he still is incredible when he's healthy. I feel like he hasn't been healthy in years. If he's healthy and Pujols is healthy and Trout is healthy.
That's unstoppable.
They have to be the favorites. Now, Jared Weaver hasn't looked good, and they don't. C.J. Wilson and Jared Weaver both got blown up. So if they can't pitch, it doesn't matter. But
exactly.
That division's ripe for the taking, so. I'll be very curious in like a month or two how these sort of hot starts and like Hamilton's not going to hit 500, but is Hamilton still going to look this good in 2 months?
Right, exactly.
Or is Miami going to still look this good in 2 months?
Right.
You know, is, I don't know, Kansas City going to look this bad? Is Arizona going to look this bad?
Arizona's Arizona, right now. Right, that's right. They just haven't been able to close out games.
Yeah. You got to – I mean, and it's not like they don't have the guys to do it.
True. But, they have a great lineup, I think. I love Paul Goldschmidt, by the way.
He is a good example of somebody that nobody expected to be as good as he was.
No way. He is awesome, that guy.
He is not really considered much of a prospect. I think he always had power, but – in the minors, people were kind of like, yeah, he can hit the ball kind of far, but he's going to have like, you know, I think he just had his numbers look good in the minors, but he had such holes in his swing and he struck out a good amount that they were like, you know, this is a guy that struck out like, I don't know, 150, 200 times in high A. And they were just like, oh, when he gets to the majors, he's going to strike out 250 times. And he grew up, he matured, and he looks awesome.
Wow.
So, all right. Well, enough about the rest of the league.
Yeah.
We're going to try and do this every 2 weeks. We did this.
We're trying to do it on off days, too, if that works. I mean, if it's always Monday, then maybe it'll always be Monday, but we'll try to do it when it's an off day. So that way there's not a game going on and we're giving late stats.
Yeah, because what we tend to do is watch the game during the
right. That's a problem.
And then we tell you what happened in the fifth inning of a game that you watched the night before you're listening.
Exactly, and no one cares about that.
So, like right now, I could talk about how UConn just blew a giant lead against Kentucky.
There's no way that freshmen are going to beat experienced players. I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? Ask Fat Calipari. Disagrees.
Wow, that guy Shabazz Napier is an unbelievable player.
I will tell you, UConn is a lot harder to – it's a lot easier to root for UConn now that Jim Calhoun isn't there.
Exactly. Their coach is someone I remember playing in the NBA, so I love it.
That's true. And honestly, if this game had happened 5 years ago, as much as I hate Kentucky, I probably would be rooting for them.
Because really?
That's how much I dislike Calhoun. And now I'm like, go Connecticut. Good for you. You guys have a strong basketball program. I hope you win a championship.
Right. Well, we're all messed up now. We're going to the – what are we in now? The Big Ten?
The Terps. We're both Terp alumni, and we are going to be Big Ten.
It's going to take me a while. It's weird. Like, I was all for it before, but now I'm like, we're not in the ACC? It's really gone? It's weird.
I'm just glad when January comes, I no longer have to refer to it as the ACC season because it always sounds weird to me. Saying Big Ten season is a lot easier.
It does. Anyway, if you want to read more about the Nats, head over to thenationalsreview.com where we have all the amazing stories and the podcast and the gear and the beer, guys.
Go to thenationalsreview.com/gear. It will take you to the store. Give me ideas for shirts if you want them. I'll be happy to draft our buddy Isaiah to build it.
That's right.
Put it on the store.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Culmination.
You can follow me at Nationals Review.
And I think, is that everything? Covered it? Yeah.
I think that's it.
I guess we're going to see you guys at the park.
See you at the park.
Now is the time. to be aware. Sky, something.